What a great day it is to be back to worship God, the Almighty God, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, who made this creation and made salvation available for each one of us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We're going to be looking at the design of creation and the design of salvation. In the beginning, there was no universe, if you call it a beginning, because God was always here. There no earth existed, no seas, no planets, nothing at all except God. But God wanted to create a universe, so he spoke it into existence. As we read through the verses in Genesis, you're going to see that he said things and it came about. In John chapter 1:1-3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The thing to note here is all things were made by him. Can you imagine being so powerful that whatever you spoke actually happened? That's what God is. God is powerful enough to whatever he says, it comes about. Can you imagine walking through your dirty, messy room and saying, be clean, or into a kitchen, whatever it might be, and it's automatically straightened up, or just create something out of nothing. God is so powerful that he designed all things, including our salvation. If you think about a junkyard with a tornado going through it, everybody, I know that's been an example many times. Could you imagine a tornado going through there and building a space shuttle as it went through? You know, it wasn't a Big Bang that created the earth. It wasn't evolution that happened over millions and millions of years. It was God's Word. In Genesis chapter 1:1-5, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." In Genesis 1:6-8, God said, "Let there be the firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." Genesis 1:9-13, it says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day." If you really think about it, how do plants know when to bloom? If they bloomed in the winter, would that kill the plant? I got this from Apologetics Press, and they call it smart plants, I guess you would say. It says, "For the plants to survive, timing is everything. If the plants do certain things in the winter that they're supposed to do in the summer, they're not going to be able to survive. There's a protein named apatolol, which regulates over 1,000 genes in the plant, and this allows the plant to bloom and to die at the right times during the winter and when to come back throughout the seasons. Without this protein, the plant life would not exist." Genesis 1:14-19, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." When you think about the fourth day, what God created, he created over 100 billion stars, or at least what we know of. 100,000 years at traveling at light speed it would take us to cross just our galaxy. Earth is located the exact distance from the sun. If it was any closer or further away from the Earth, it would not sustain life. Earth is rotating at 1,000 miles per hour, moving around the sun at 70,000 miles per hour, or 19 miles per second. The sun is moving through space at 600,000 miles per hour in an orbit that will take 220 million years to complete a single orbit. If the moon was closer to the Earth, there would be tidal waves 35 feet to 50 feet high. If the atmosphere were thinner, meteorites would strike the Earth, causing worldwide devastation. 90% of the oxygen we breathe comes from plants and the seas. If the ocean was smaller, we would run out of air to breathe. There is no way that this type of creation, this type of things that were created could have just happened by evolution or by chance. God definitely had his hand in this. Genesis 1, 20 to 23, it says, "And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." I want you to think about whales. I want you to imagine in your mind the whales that swim in the ocean, how big they are. The great mammals that live in the ocean consume over 5,000 gallons of air per minute. They weigh up to 300,000 pounds, and their tongue alone can weigh as much as an elephant. So y'all young guys, I'm going to ask you after this sermon, how much does a tongue weigh of an elephant? How much? What are you going to say? You're going to say it weighs as much as an elephant. Okay, you got it? The fins of a whale have very small blood vessels, and the whale uses its flippers as air conditions. Flippers as air conditions, really? The whales swim deep into the in the water in circles and blow massive amount of air bubbles and forces krill to swim to the middle of the circle. And the whale comes up through the middle, opens his mouth, and gets over a ton of krill each time. Their mouth is not connected to their nose, therefore they can open their mouth in the water without drowning. The whale has the ability to shut down part of its circulatory system and leave only their heart, their brain, and their tail working while they eat. This saves them lots of energy, allows them to stay under longer and swim deeper into the ocean. Whales also have an extensive communication device that allows them to communicate over hundreds of miles. They use this ability to find food and also to send signals to each other. And that's where some of the older submarines got the technology, is from whales. What great technology God put in the whale, if you might say it that way. There's no way that this design could be created any other way than through creation by God. There's also a bird that flies from Hawaii. Its name is Cotia. It flies from Alaska to Hawaii, sorry. The size of the dove... It is the size of a dove, and it cannot swim. In Alaska, they have four eggs, and they hatch in 24 days. So they hatch their eggs in Alaska. After they hatch the adult plover, he takes a trip from Alaska all the way to Hawaii. And keep in mind that how much they eat. It is a three-day journey, and they have an 88-hour flight, and they eat enough food for a 70-hour flight. So how do they get there? They get there by flying in formation, and they alternate leaders. As many of you see geese flying overhead, they do the same thing. By design or by happenstance or by evolution? The young make the same trip after they get big enough. Now keep in mind, where are the adults? They're in Hawaii. The young eat their 70 grams of food, and they make the same journey. So how do they know how to get there? Definitely by design. How do they know where to fly? Hawaii is a little place out there in the big ocean. How do they know how to get there unless God had designed them to get there and to make that flight? Also a dragonfly God created. It's able to swoop down on its prey at 20 miles per hour. It can see its prey over 40 feet away. The larva of a dragonfly lives in the water up to 2 years and eats tadpoles and fish. It has 30,000 eyes. Okay, kids, you remember this. How many eyes do a dragonfly have? 30,000, okay? They're tiny facets. Each takes a little bit of the image. They can fly forwards and backwards like a helicopter. They can easily outmaneuver anyone trying to catch them. You ever tried to catch a dragonfly? They're kind of quite hard to catch. Actually, the inventor of the helicopter actually got the technology from the dragonfly. They also have small channels, which makes them their wings extremely small, strong. And they have sails on the tips of the wings that keeps them from fluttering as they fly. Is that creation by God, or is that evolution? Genesis 1, 24 to 31, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after his kind," and it was so. "And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. On the sixth day, I want us to think a little bit about bats. The bats use their eyes to see, and some use their ears to decide where to fly. They don't have very good vision. The ones that do not have good vision, they use something called echolocation. And this is where they send out sounds over 200 sounds per second. That's not the screeching you hear when the bats fly around, but a different sound. Well, they use this sound echoing off the cave walls and their awesome hearing to maneuver through the caves using their ears. You might think of somebody blind as they walk through a crowd of people. They're able to maneuver by listening, and so are these bats. You might think of the man, how complicated and how much design is in the heart and the brain and the kidney and the liver and so many other parts of our body, how much design is there. And like the heart, man can't reproduce a heart. They have to go find someone somewhere else to transplant into people. I want us to think for a minute how powerful this God is that created all the earth. In several places in the Bible, he's referenced as being powerful in Psalms 29:4. And in Revelation 16:14, 19:15, and 21:22, and 57 other places, God is referred to as the Almighty. In Colossians 1:16-17, it says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones and dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." So when we think about this creator that created this earth and created the heavens and all the many things, he is an almighty God. He is the Lord of lords. He is the God of gods. He is a great God, as in Deuteronomy 10:17. Psalms 95:1-3, it says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Why do we sing here every Sunday and every Wednesday? We're singing praises to this great and almighty God, this great King above all gods, this God that created all the heavens and the earth. As God created all these things, before he created these things, he also thought of us. He also thought of salvation. God's plan to redeem man was set up before creation. That's like, well, how does God know? Well, he's an almighty God. He's the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. In 1 Peter 1:19, it says, "But with precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." In Acts 2:23, it says, Jesus being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He was delivered by the foreknowledge of God. He knew ahead of time, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose, which was purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal purpose, eternal, that's forever. God, in his eternal purpose, Christ Jesus our Lord for us. He sent him to the cross for each one of us. From the foundation of the world, God's plan was for us to hear what we are to do to be saved. In Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." From the foundation of the world, God's plan was for us to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned," Mark 16:16. From the foundation of the world, God's plan was for us to repent. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord," Acts 3:19. "And repent therefore of thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, Acts 8:22. From the foundation of the world, God's plan was for us to repent. His plan was for us to change our lives and try to live like Jesus did whenever he was here on earth. From the foundation of the world, God's plan was for us to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Romans 10:9-10, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." From the foundation of the world, God's plan was for us to be baptized. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned," Mark 16:16. From the foundation of the world, God's plan was for us to live a godly life. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, we should live righteously, we should live godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." The great God, you might notice here, the God of creation, "who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all our sins and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." In 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." In Philippians 2:5-8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto the death, even the death on the cross. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We need to be like Jesus Christ. We need to live more like Jesus Christ. We don't need to make ourselves of high reputation. We need to take the form of a servant, just like Jesus did, form of a servant. Are you really serious about going to heaven today? You know, I have a list of here, and this isn't a list that you check off and say, "I've done these things and I get to go to heaven." And all these things are love for the souls of man. It has to be there before any of these things. But because we love God, because we love the souls of man, these are some of the things that we're commanded to do. In 2 Timothy 2:15, are we studying God's word? Are we actively participating in spiritual activities? Acts 2:42, John 4:24. Are we actively participating in personal evangelism, going out and preaching the word? Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:16, I believe, or 16:15. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? Matthew 6:33. At preaching school, this is one of the things they stress a lot, is seeking first the kingdom of God. Being a servant, putting God first in our lives as we go out and be a servant of Jesus Christ. Number five, is our life filled with prayer? It's another thing they stress at school. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, if your life is not filled with prayer, you need to add it in there. Our life needs to be full of prayer, praying daily and any other time we need to. Number six, does our life influence others to be more like Christ? The life that you live, is it influencing others to be like Jesus Christ? 1 Peter 2:21. Is our life filled with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, faith and meekness and temperance? Galatians 5:22-23. Do you believe that God is the creator of the universe? The universe is so complex, there is just no possible way that it could have happened by chance. There is an article that Gary Colley gave us a few weeks back, and it's written by Jim Bishop, and the title of it is "There Is No God," and it starts out, "There's no God. All of the wonders around us are accidental. No mighty hand made 1,000,000,000,000 stars. They made themselves. No power keeps them on their steady course. The earth spins itself to keep the oceans from falling off toward the sun. Infants teach themselves to cry when they are hungry or hurt. A small flower invented itself so that we could extract digitalis for sick hearts. The earth gave itself day and night and tilted itself so that we get seasons. Without the magnetic poles, man would be unable to navigate the trackless oceans of the water and air, but they just grew there. How about the sugar thermostat in the pancreas? It maintains a level of sugar in the blood sufficient for energy. Without it, all of us would fall into a coma and die. Why does snow sit on mountaintops waiting for a warm spring sun to melt it at just the right time for the young crops in the farms below to drink? A very lovely accident, of course. The human heart will beat for 70 or 80 years without faltering. How does it get sufficient rest between beats? A kidney will filter poison from the blood and leave good things alone. How does it know which one from the other, good or bad? Who gave the human tongue flexibility to form words, a brain to understand them, but denied it to all the animals? Who showed a womb how to take the love of two persons and keep splitting a tiny ovum until it, in time, a baby would have the proper number of fingers, eyes, and ears and hair in the right places, and come into this world when it's strong enough to sustain life? There's no God, really? In Psalms 14:1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." People that say there is no God, they're fools. Because there is no possible way, when you look at the creation, that you could have any other outcome than that. There's no way that you could say, without having more faith for these scientists and evolutionists, you would have to have more faith to believe those things that they say than just believe that God created the heavens and the earth. God made a plan for your salvation. He thought of you, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the Almighty God. He thought of you. He thought of me. He's going to save us and bring us to be with Him. Will you follow God's plan or will you just ignore it? We must study our Bibles daily and keep in mind the things that He tells us to do and the things that we can learn to help us be more like Jesus Christ, to be more like Him. I kind of had this lesson to, I know all of y'all are here on a Christmas day, on a Sunday night, and y'all probably have pretty good faith, but I hope this lesson increased your faith It helps you believe more in God, because as we live our life, we need to increase our faith every single day. Every time we study God's word, our faith should be increased and become stronger. But if there is some of you that hasn't been baptized, that would like to be baptized, as we have heard today through our lesson, there's no better day to start a new day tomorrow or start a new year than to be baptized and to have all your sins washed away and to start a new life living like Jesus Christ. Maybe it is that you haven't been living like Jesus Christ. You haven't been studying your Bible or doing the things that He wants you to do. He wants you to love doing those things. Maybe you just really just did them and really didn't love to do them. But we need to love doing those things. Love doing the works of God. Whatever your need be, if there's any need, I'd like to ask that you come as we stand and as we sing.
Still.